Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Ohio prisons are packed with thousands of inmates who want to make the world a better place. Maybe that world will never expand beyond the prison walls for those who are sentenced to long terms or life terms. But for most, the term is much shorter and the stakes are much higher for the world at large. What in the world will happen to them when they are released? A lot of success in that regard has been achieved by bringing the arts, education, and community service opportunities to them while they're still incarcerated. And that's what we're talking about this hour. Coming up, we'll hear from the director of the Harmony Project and how he has expanded his reach into the Ohio Reformatory for Women. We'll also hear from the founder of a nonprofit that provides new bicycles for Christmas to foster children across the state of Ohio. Joining us now is the executive director of Healing Broken Circles, Jody Davis. Jody is the recent recipient of a $100,000 prize from the Kind Foundation for her efforts to see inmates as people first. Welcome, Jody.
Good morning, Ann.
Also joining us is Pickaway Correctional Institution Warden Charles Bradley. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Chuck Bradley, when did this get to be a thing? We were talking before we went on the air. I remember covering the Ohio General Assembly when they were taking away all kinds of extras in prisons because they said it was too much like a country club in there. When did this sort of approach to rehabilitation take hold?
Well, you know, back in 1991, the director at the time, Reginald Wilkerson, had a vision of really ensuring that we put back into our citizens, especially our neighbors out there in the communities, especially with restorative justice. So we looked at community service as a way for our offenders to have the opportunity to give back. And with that opportunity, it really gives those folks some type of insight how it is to actually give. A lot of times, you know, a lot of our offenders don't have that opportunity to actually give, and they've done a lot of taking over the years for whatever reason. So community service was one way where we can really look at our neighbors out there in the communities and have a way to give back. And so we've been doing it for a while. Over 121 million community service hours we've actually put forth since 1991.
What came first, the chicken or the egg? In other words, Reggie Wilkerson had a philosophy about this, and he's pretty much embraced it his entire career, despite the political winds. But did you go out, were people like you going out and looking for projects, or were the projects coming to you?
A little bit of both. You have a lot of organizations now that are nonprofits that initially we did a lot of advertising. We were out there in the communities looking at different opportunities that we could capture and bring back into our facilities to help out the community. So I think it went both ways for the most part.
Some people might be wondering, is this really punishment?
Being incarcerated, I mean, it's not our job to really punish offenders. They've been convicted of a crime. We have a responsibility, and we're all stewards of the taxpayer's dollar. And our primary goal is not to necessarily punish offenders, but primarily to get those folks engaged in a way where they don't come back to prison. You know, it's kind of cool. One of my primary goals when I wake up in the morning is to find a way where I can put myself out of business. And that's our primary mission. You know, I have a director that he speaks about it all the time. Sometimes we find our worth in others.
Gary Moore.
Yes, yeah. Gary Moore. And that rings true throughout our organization. And if we can figure out a way where we can get folks from not coming back, and sometimes that's hard to gauge, but that's our goal. And we owe it to the taxpayer to be able to do that.
Because we should remind people that most Ohio prison inmates are there for a relatively short period of time.
Yes, they will be out. And a lot of times I think folks lose sight of that. So we have a responsibility to prepare them as much as possible to have a successful transition back into community to be law-abiding citizens.
Jody Davis, the prize you won from the foundation arm of Kind Snacks was for demonstrating kindness, empathy, and human connection during a time when our country is increasingly divided. Now, we talk a lot about these divisions these days because of politics and that kind of thing, but Healing Circles started a few years back. Tell us what triggered it. What got you started in this?
Well, I've been working in the prison for 16 years doing programming and watching what worked and what didn't work and what was good and what was authentic and what had the results that we wanted. And it occurred to me, and it just emerged, that what was happening was healing. And Healing Broken Circles has our mission of providing a space for healing and learning for those touched by the justice system. And the provision of that means that we have four elements that we focus on. We focus on belonging, which people have to belong to something. People have to be masterful. They have to be able to be good at something, have something to be proud of. And they have to be able to be independent and be accountable for their own behavior and their own decisions. And then what we're talking about with community service and how that fits into the circle is we have to be generous. We have to have an opportunity to give back. And so being kind to me is providing a place for healing. And healing is providing those four elements to people for whom those are not present.
Tell me why healing is important.
Healing just means becoming whole. And you need to be as whole as you can be. You need to have as much integrity and be complete and be a total person. And that's what healing is.
It's a lot of fun to read about your organization because there's so much variety in it. Where all are you operating now?
At the current moment, we're operating within Marion Correctional, and then we also have Healing Broken Circles downtown, which operates out of St. John's Church on Mound Street for the outside people. So those are our two venues right now.
And tell us about the different kinds of programs that you bring to those places.
Oh, glory. That's a whole conversation.
Right.
But we really try to focus, as we've said, on the whole person. We have anything from... Yeah. Well, let me just go back just a minute. I've become very interested in the role of trauma and toxic stress in the behavior of people. And I've given the ACEs questionnaire, which some people will know, but it's another whole story. But I've given this questionnaire to everyone that I've worked with, and they rarely have less than a score of 5. Now, what that means is that they have a considerable amount of trauma, early childhood trauma, which has really affected the way they think. And so what we do is we try to do what is scientifically proven and what they're now discovering are things that heal that trauma. So yoga. Well, yoga in prison, yeah. It's one of the main things for healing trauma. We have meditation. The arts, we talked about the arts as something that we need to have. And yes, it isn't just entertaining and fun and gives them something lovely to do. It's also something that heals trauma. Stress-related trauma is healed by theater, improv, singing, all of those things. We have Spanish and coding and 7 university professors that come in and do university courses with us. So it's trying to heal the whole person and give those four elements of the circle a chance to thrive and grow.
You know, Chuck Bradley, I'd love to know more about, and I don't know if they do this kind of thing, but just brain scans of inmates, people who have grown up in the system, correction system, and how it changes, how their brains actually change with something like meditation or yoga or just painting or even doing a jigsaw puzzle, how it calms and that kind of a thing. Do you notice a difference?
Well, it's an extremely big difference. The more time you got to get these folks engaged in activities that are calming, you can see the effect in their behavior. We were just talking just over the past, Thanksgiving weekend, the different approach. I mean, we got 2,000 offenders that we feed every day, and one day we actually brought the offender band inside the dining hall, and they performed. And that's something I watch every day. Is their interactions with offenders in the dining hall. But when you added the music piece and they were able to be interactive and actually listen and then listen to music and eat, it changed the whole dynamics of that dining hall with all of those offenders. Very calming. And a lot of times you can feel a little tension when you come into an inmate population the size of prisons that I have. But when you see the calming effect and when you approach individuals and just the normal conversations dramatically change. I mean, some of the questions I usually get, I didn't get. You know, it was more of a wholesome approach, and it did wonders for that day. So when you look at those type of force multipliers, and if you're able to do that across the masses in day-to-day living through community service, with music, with the arts, it's just a characteristic that I think speaks volumes, that really makes that whole approach and then opens up other avenues for us to engage with the offender, either with programming and education, which are one of the key elements in getting these folks on the right pathway going home.
You know, one of the best things I ever did was attend the TEDx at Marion Correctional, Jody Davis. And one of the nicest things about the experience was seeing the inmates in the prison and how they responded to each other and how they interacted with each other to put on a show.
Yeah, and our next one is coming up next Thursday.
Right.
Yes, and I was going to say, with regard to the dining hall, just before mm-hmm. I get into that, is that one of the things that we've had at our place, which people comment on after 5 years of TEDx, is that the discourse in the chow hall is considerably improved because people will be talking about TED things instead of the baseball games. So there's just tiny things that you can do to change the way the chow hall is. That doesn't sound like a big deal, but that is a big deal.
And what you talk about matters.
Uh-huh. Most definitely
sure.
So.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And so the TEDx that we've done has created a community within Marion Prison, and you see it with the men. But that's the healing of the circles. That's people who feel competent, those people who belong to each other, those people who can stand up and sort of be accountable for themselves, people who can give back by participating in a TEDx. That creates a community that thrives and that's safe and that's healthy, and that's what we try to do.
And that attracts attention from outside. Now,
yeah.
Marion Correctional was the first TEDx program to occur inside a prison.
Correct.
And now
in an adult prison in the United States.
In the United States. And Correct. Now it's all over the country.
There are several states that have had several of them. Yes, and we're very excited that the TEDx, which is going to happen at Donovan Correctional in San Diego, California, their two representatives are coming, and they are going to be with us for the rehearsal and for TEDx so that they can see how we do it, so they can take it back to California and do it. So we're very glad to be able to be promoting that.
Yeah, Chuck Bradley, have you seen the TEDx?
I actually watched it. I didn't personally go see it, but I actually got an opportunity to watch
it online.
On the web. Yeah,
of course.
And it was unbelievable. It was pretty great.
We'll have a link to that on our website at WOSU.org. We'll get a link to at least one of the TEDx Marion Correctional Facility events that have occurred in the past. The new next one is coming up this week. It's invitation only still, right?
It's full, full, full.
It's full, full, full. It's too late. But you'll be able to see it online. You are listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We'll be right back to continue our conversation about how bringing community service, the arts, and expression into the prisons is good for everybody. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're talking today about efforts to bring the outside world to inmates as a form of healing in our prison system. Ohio's prisons are set an all-time record of 51,273 inmates last summer. The thing is, most of them will leave prison at some point, and sooner probably rather than later. And for them and even the inmates who are in prison for life, the question is, what will we have done to make prison also a place of healing and redemption? After all, the state prison department is still entitled the Ohio Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. So still with us is Executive Director of Healing Broken Circles, Jody Davis. Jody, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Pickaway Correctional Institution Warden Charles Bradley, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
And joining us now is Executive Director of the Harmony Project, David Brown. Welcome back, David.
Hi, Ann. Thank you.
David, the music we just heard was from a recent Harmony Project performance that included the Inside Out Choir at the Ohio Reformatory for Women. 16 members of that choir were permitted to perform in person on stage at the Ohio Theater, and the rest performed via video. What inspired you to reach into the prison?
Well, what inspired me was kind of a first I was introduced to a woman named Karen Jones, who I think a lot of people know in the Columbus area. And Karen was telling me about the importance of arts in the prison. And I went and at that time met Warden Trim. You guys all know Janine Trim, right? And she was just, you know, an overwhelming influence. And then Warden Trim was leaving and Warden Burks was coming on. So I went in and I kind of got a chance to watch this therapeutic community. And I saw that there was just a need for maybe a little levity, because therapy is, as the, for all of us who've ever been in it, it can be a very kind of deep inward process. And the inward process is great, but there also needs to be a moment where that inward focus shifts and you go outward again. And I don't think that therapy works if it's just all about the inside. So the music that we do is really just about getting the women to kind of go out beyond themselves, to find lyrics that work, touch them, heal them, but then not to just kind of use that for themselves, to turn it around and say, I'm not just serving a sentence. I can serve a purpose while I'm here.
Wow, that's not just serving a sentence, I can serve a purpose. That's really important, right, Jody Davis?
Yes, it is. That's the generosity. But he's also got mastery, because they're awesome. And they so feel that they belong in that community. So it's hitting all of the elements of the circle.
Was this the first time that you had them perform with Harmony Project?
Live, yes. Now they... Well, okay, no, because we secretly had them perform at the Greater Columbus Arts Council luncheon just a few weeks before.
That's
that.
Right.
Kind of surprised everybody on that day. And then I just got up at rehearsal, and Warden Bradley, you'll love this one, because Warden Burks is in the Harmony Project Choir. So I got up at rehearsal and said, and next we're going to have them come to the Ohio Theater. And Warden Burks was like, okay, we'll figure that out somehow.
Project.
You got it. But the best part for me of those women walking out on that stage that night was that, you know, it's tough. I can only imagine what it's like. You get out of a van, you're wearing a prison uniform, it says ORW, it says inmate on your clothes, you're labeled, and you walk into a room that's 2,500 people sitting there in the audience, and you walk out on that stage, and the room really just, when they started singing, can I give myself one more second chance? I think everyone in the room wished they could have at that moment shout, and third, and fourth. And that's what I think we're doing, is that we're trying to shift the way people think, is that, yeah, they're there, but where they are doesn't define who they are. Who they are human beings who, like the warden has said, are going to be back out into the community. And all of these combined programs are helping prepare them to reenter. But then we also have to prepare ourselves to accept them when they reenter and treat them with the dignity that they deserve and the respect that they deserve.
Right. That's a whole other part of the equation, right?
Oh, most definitely. The whole part about us being able to receive our offenders back is so important to our communities. I talk to folks all the time. With so many people that's been affected, and honestly, one of our biggest issues is making sure we have the right type of offenders incarcerated. We have so many folks that are nonviolent offenders that probably prison wasn't the best place for them, but that's the hand that they're dealt. And hopefully, down the road, Director Moore is at the tip of the spear, trying to ensure that those folks are getting the proper treatment in the communities first, and instead of coming to prison. But with that being said, folks have to realize when you're out shopping at the stores and you're at Walmart or wherever you're at, it's a good chance that the person that's standing next to you is somebody that's been incarcerated. So, you know, we have to make sure that not only are we accepting, but we understand the commitment that we're going to put forward to ensure that that person is the right type of person that needs to be next to you.
It's just good public policy. David Brown, how did you prepare to do what you do with the inmates at Marysville Reformatory for Women?
I just kind of used the same project. I mean, I just showed up and went in. I mean, I wanted to get a feel for kind of like what's the room, who are the people.
Yeah, because Jody had 16 years of experience inside
right.
the system.
Right. As I said to them while we were waiting to come in to see them, like, I'm the baby here. Yeah. Don't ask me too many questions. baby only in years of service. But, you know, you go in and I had to kind of get a gauge for what is the therapy that they're going through, what is the approach that they're taking. And then it was about finding music that could continue that narrative. And so I found – and we traditionally use almost only women written or women performed music just for this population. Mm-hmm. And so I found music by Nina Simone and Wynonna Judd and others who kind of write from a place of pain and suffering and from a place of redemption. And all the songs, I could start finding right away, like, any song that had to do with, like, feeling free, oh, wow, they love to sing that, you know? Yeah. Any song that had to do with kind of overcoming. And so it was just then dig in and find the music that will allow them to speak through the song if they don't know how to use their own voice yet to speak for themselves. Let the music speak for you.
Jody?
Yeah, get the voice out there. And I think that that applies to what you said about preparing the community for them. Because if the community sees them as these prisoners that they see on all the TV shows and doesn't ever have an experience of hearing their voice and knowing their stories and seeing them as humans, then they're not going to be able to receive them as if they were fully human and as people redeemed. So, yeah.
I guess the time comes when you have to sing together eventually, and whether you can harmonize or not has a lot to do with just knowing that the other person can sing in the first place. What surprised you about the Inside Out Choir, David Brown?
What surprised me?
Yeah.
In what way?
I guess I don't know. I mean, I don't want to make any assumptions.
Are there any surprises?
Like, are there any surprises? Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, as the warden and I were discussing earlier, so these aren't the same women all the time. So there's a constant – because these women go through their therapy. They make it through it. Then they go back into the general population or they're released to come back
into – And then they don't get to be part of the choir?
They're connected to it in some ways, on special occasions maybe.
Okay.
But I think the thing that surprised me the most, to be just really brutally direct, is that when I walked into the prison – I could not believe how many, like, mothers just – these weren't, like, you know, early 20-something girls that looked like they had gotten into some trouble, like, in school or something. These were mothers and aunts and grandmothers, and they were us. They were the people who just live right around the corner. And back to something that the warden was talking about, that you were talking about – When the warden said that we need to remember that when you're in Walmart, when you're here, when you're there, that we see these people working with us, we also need to remember that there are, like, local businesses who really are committed. And I don't know all of them, so I don't want to start name dropping, but I know Donato's does it, you know? And I think that we have to remember that when we go in and we're dealing with someone, just like when they deal with us, we all bring everything we've ever done to the table at every moment that we're in. These inmates, they've brought everything that they've had, their whole life experience is up to that moment. We can only meet them in that moment. We can't solve everything that's happened before. But by giving them an opportunity to give back, to serve, when our women sing to children in South Africa, which was through Kathy Kobacker, when our women sing to those children in South Africa are orphans. They don't have mothers. These mothers are separated, rightfully or wrongfully, from their own children. There is a healing that occurs. You see it. Maybe we need to bring people in to kind of actually write down the data of what's happening. Like you said, scan the brains.
I'd love the brain scans.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you watch it happen in the room. You watch the shoulders drop. You watch the necks lengthen. And you watch the tears fall.
Tell us about that trip. You traveled to South Africa in July and included the Inside Out Choir. How did that work? What happened?
Well, number one, we had been doing this for a year and a half with those children. So when you land in South Africa and then you walk up to a gate and children are screaming your name through the gate, you know, you just melt.
Okay, rock star.
I know. I'm going to start crying, actually. I mean, that was a moment that I will never forget in my life. But seeing them and then being on the other side of it, being in the room with those children when the women came on the screen and watching what it did for the children, that's when I knew we were doing something really, really good. Seeing them come to life and scream and cheer when they were not doing that 5 minutes before, and then knowing what it's like on the other end where the women are all excited when they're waiting for the children to come on the screen.
And that was all live.
That was all live.
Wow.
And it's remarkable. We just did it last week. And the women created a chimney. One of the inmates was dressed up like Santa Claus. And when the women were singing and they planned and choreographed and Santa appeared and the children on the screen started screaming. And then we had snow on the ground. So I took the camera and turned it around through the bars on the windows and showed the children the snow. They were screaming in South Africa because it was 90 degrees there. I mean, and I do understand. I do understand the argument of people who say, is this really, is this incarceration? Is this what we should be doing? And I don't know enough about it to speak to it, but I'll say this. I think that the punishment is being locked up. You're separated from life as you know it. That is the punishment. And so while we're there, some people like to look at it and say, well, they're reaping what they sowed. Well, maybe what they're reaping while they're in prison is what they're going to sow when they return back into the community. So it's our job to make sure that what they reap while they're there, they are able to sow back into the community when they come back out.
The Harmony Project was featured on CBS Sunday Morning this week. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's huge.
I don't think it is.
There's anything bigger than that on a Sunday morning. I can only imagine what kind of reaction you've received. I'm sure it's huge. But Jane Pauley came here. They filmed segments of the recent concert at Ohio Theater for the segment.
They visited the prison?
Yeah, they visited the prison. She talked with I think pretty much the inmates and the warden there at Marysville Reformatory for Women. What's happened since?
Well, many, many emails and phone calls that are beautiful and amazing, and people all over the country who want to start something like this in their cities. But I want to say that the most meaningful, and I'm sure you guys get these too and you understand, the most meaningful are the ones that come in from a grandmother whose granddaughter is in prison or a mother whose son is in prison. I can't even hardly talk about it without crying because it's so – just in the 4 years that I've been doing this, which is such a small amount of time –
It's amazing what you've done in 4 years.
But your
David.
Heart just opens because you just understand that it's so tragic and it's so sad that we have for many years just thought, lock them up. And we haven't thought about like what to do with them while they're there. And reading these stories of grandmothers and grandfathers and mothers and fathers saying, my son is not a criminal, my daughter is not a perpetrator, they've made bad choices and they're there now, and I wish that we could bring the music and the arts to them. So whatever we can do to get more people funding it and bring more people in and give more of these inmates access to it, let's do it.
By the way, we'll have a link to the CBS Sunday Morning segment on our website at WOSU.org. You know, Chuck Bradley, as warden of Pickaway Correctional Institution, obviously we're kind of talking about what we mean by rehabilitation at this point. What do we really mean by it? It's not just about finding a trade that you can go into when you get out. It's about living.
Oh, most definitely. The Department of Corrections in Ohio, we're probably one of the few prisons that still has rehabilitation in our title.
Right. In fact, I checked. I double checked.
Yeah. And that's important to us because we owe it, and it's a responsibility we have to rehabilitate folks. But here's the catch. A lot of times, especially in today's age, when you look at rehabilitation and just by definition, but we're getting folks in that's really never been habilitated in the first place. and so these community services plays a big part in that. So when you got folks that never were able to give, understand the art of giving or the tapestry of learning these type of tools and the skill set, that's new for these individuals. So and this speaks volumes to our responsibility to ensure that they're able to rehabilitate. So it's very important.
You've probably come across that a lot, Jody Davis, people who this is where they're coming alive for the first time in prison.
I'm thinking about Damien, who serves time in the armed forces and had made some bad choices and has been in prison quite a while, and 4 years ago got interested in philosophy because he's a thinker. And boy, you know what he's doing now? This quarter, he taught his first course in the Dialogues of Plato. He taught it. And that's got to indicate a change, a major change in somebody, a change in the way of thinking. He can plan. He can lead. He can do so many things that he couldn't do before. And that's just one example of so many that I see of people who find themselves. And one of the things that we try to do is not focus on deficits and not focus on brokenness, but provide for healing and look for the strengths and the talents and the joys and the things that turn people on. And it it's great for them to do that. And that's, like I said before, that's fun and that's good. But it also is healing. Those kinds of things help people fix themselves. Excuse me. And there is a lot of research on the brain and what happens to the brain. And I can tell you where to find that.
David Brown, I know with Harmony Project, one of the great things about, you know, Harmony Project here in Columbus, what you've started, is that it brings people from all different walks of life together. And they meet each other and they form, you know, a whole nother world.
Intersections is what I call it.
Yeah. And you require community service as part of that. Is that the same thing with the work you're doing at the Marysville Reformatory for Women?
Yes. So, you know, because of the limitations of bars and fences, we have to get creative in the way that we think about community service. But singing to those children in South Africa is community service. Knitting blankets and hats, making finger puppets for those children is community service. And then I think to provide you with a segue that you're going to owe me for, you know, just 2 weeks ago, 100 inmates were building bikes with Kate Cook, the bike lady. And what an amazing day that was, because these women were saying, you know, my child is in foster care. My child might actually receive one of these bikes. The tears that flowed in that room, the joy that was in that room, you know, they wouldn't let the inmates get on the bike. They were building the bikes, but I was on the bike riding around, and you know, we were all honking and cheering and putting seats together. And as I told the women, don't have me putting a bike together. I have no idea what I'm doing. But you know what? And they want to do this. It's just like the rest of us. There is no difference between they're just there. We're out here. We all want to give in some way. It's a human condition that we want to make our environment better than it is. I also, something that Jody just said, sometimes when our women are singing, you know, you'll start to see, I call it an estrogen fest is what I call it whenever I'm in there, because the tears all start flowing and everybody just starts to cry a lot. And I'm like, let's not go down the rabbit hole. Let's not make this song just about how we're feeling. Let's turn this song back around and talk about how it's going to help someone else. Look what happened with Melissa Etheridge. They recorded a song, sent it to Melissa Etheridge. Then Melissa Etheridge says, I'm coming to the prison and I'm doing a concert. And then they sang with her. Most of those women that sang with her are out now. And think about the experience that they had. And some of them showed up when she came down to the Commons this summer to sing.
Right.
And I ran into women that I had only seen inside the prison who are now out front cheering and singing along with Melissa. So there's this giant circle of kind of love, which I know is cliched, but it's what it is. And I believe in what Jody and what the warden are doing and what all the people out there that are working. I feel privileged to be a tiny little part and a newbie in it. And I'm looking excited to talk to the warden about maybe some potential partnerships in the future together.
Yeah. Well, David Brown, thank you so much. And thanks for setting up my next segment with Kate Cook, the bike lady. I owe you. David Brown is executive director of the founder and executive director of the Harmony Project. Thank you for everything you do for our city and beyond. More, as we said, the bike lady is on her way into the studio. So stand by. We'll continue our conversation about what rehabilitation means. It's a kind of a 360 the 180 view of it, what it might have been even 25 years ago. So stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're talking about bringing the outside in to the inmates serving time in our prisons. Programs are springing up all over the place, and they take many forms. We just heard from David Brown. He's founder and director of the Harmony Project, which has brought music and community service to the Marysville Reformatory for Women. It's part of a matrix of programs out there that are doing the same sort of thing. Still with us is executive director of Healing Broken Circles, Jody Davis. Also, Pickaway Correctional Institution Warden Charles Bradley. And joining us now is Executive Director of Bike Lady, Inc., Kate Cook. Welcome back.
It's great to be here again. Thanks.
Kate, your nonprofit started casually in 2008 after you adopted a foster child. During that process, you had learned that foster kids have a lot of restrictions imposed on them, but that they can still ride a bike. What inspired you about that?
Well, I mean, I think the first part was I just wanted to give back. That was just, I was so happy to be a first-time mom, right? I was 41 years old, and okay, what can I do? And bikes just sort of bubbled to the top for Franklin County Children's Services. It's a gift that they never, ever get for kids that are in their care, a chance to be like any other kid. And then as we talked about it more, even with laws changing today, so some of those restrictions are being alleviated, right, and with prudent parenting, but still for the teenagers, it is near impossible for them to get a driver's license or to get car insurance coverage. So even if they have access to a vehicle, they are not going to be driving. So a bicycle becomes transportation for those kids. In the end, like we've talked about, if I remember right, your first bike was yellow with a banana seat, because we've talked about this before. Yeah. Everybody remembers their first bike.
Right.
And so that is something that is, I think, a rite of passage. It's intrinsic that a kid gets a bike.
And there's an important parallel here because it's a sense of freedom.
Absolutely.
Independence. A lot of these things that we're talking about today in terms of rehabilitating and preparing people for the outside world, that kind of a thing. And then you brought your mission to the prisons because you needed more people. It was a practical matter, really.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I didn't set out to start a charity, first of all. And, you know, I'm still just a mom. It's just sort of a thing, right?
Well, how many bikes did you give away this year?
This year, Friends of the Bike Lady funded and assembled 1,700 bikes to 45 counties.
And the first year it was
125.
Yeah. And it's to several counties, right?
We went to 45.
Right.
Uh-huh. 45 yeah. counties. Uh-huh.
So it's a thing.
It was an outstanding year. I mean, it's a thing, right? But you know, like you guys were talking earlier, you know, I went to go off and give a few bikes away, right? Okay, it starts becoming a little bit more than just that. And then it was a former corrections officer who was also a foster parent, also an adoptive foster parent, who, you know, I was lamenting. I know of this program at Huffy Bicycles. I can get twice the bike for the dollar. And I'm a business person, so I think in those terms of efficiency and economy. And I said, but how in the world can I manage that many volunteers or find a warehouse or whatever? And she's just shaking her head. She's sort of chuckling. She said, you need to call a prison. Never in my life would I have thought of that, considered that, not in a bad way considered it. It just never would have occurred to me that that was a possibility. And I called Pickaway, was my first call. Warden Brian Cook was the warden at the time. And he said, if you can come down this afternoon, we have time to talk about that right now. It was that vital to have programming and opportunities for offenders to give back, that they were on it. I mean, bam.
You know, Chuck Bradley is warden of Pickaway Correctional Institution. I imagine this is like a real healing circle, because so many inmates themselves had experience with foster care, and a lot of them have children in foster care.
Oh, yes, most definitely. And the part that I don't want to miss out on is that synergetic approach also goes through all our staff. I mean, it actually gives them an opportunity to see things a little bit differently as far as giving back to the community. And we also get to see the good stuff that our offenders do. A lot of times that end product we don't get to see when they're gone. We've done great things and they're out in the world doing great stuff. And sometimes we don't get that self-fulfillment, where in this particular case, and a lot with our community service works, it gets our staff also actively engaged too in things. So it's great.
Yeah. David Brown brought up the fact that one thing that he wasn't quite expecting, hadn't materialized for him in his own brain, was how many of the offenders that he works with at Marysville Reformatory, their parents, mm-hmm. their grandparents, and that kind of a thing.
This year, Pickaway was my first yeah. prison, right? And then we added Toledo, and up in Toledo, and then we added Grafton, which is West Cleveland area. This year we added four more. We used a total of seven institutions this year for assembly. And like every county, when we're delivering the bikes, every county has a personality. Every institution has a personality as well. And that's been very interesting to me. But and every year there's always moments that stand out, right, for each institution. At ORW, when Harmony Project and Bike Lady and the women in the Tapestry Project build bikes, they have a nursery at ORW. And We had the bike spilled. They brought in a little boy. One of the inmates' son came in and rode a bike, a little baby bike. That mom got to see her son ride a bike for the first time. And that was, I think, a really powerful moment for all of us during that bike build. It was, there's a lot of moms. So, you know, when we're talking this whole continuum of things of, some kids do grow up, spend a lot of time in foster care. If they age out of the system, high likelihood of potentially being incarcerated. And to give this back, they can't build. They say that when they're interviewed or when they're just hanging out with me and we're talking. I can't do this for my own kid. This is great to do it for somebody else.
Yeah. I never forget this story that you told about going, I think it was a Walmart or something like that, where you went to buy a bunch of bikes one time, that first year.
First year. Mm-hmm.
And how people looked at you like they were all kind of staring at you, and then the manager found out.
Yeah, they, you know, you don't, it was a Saturday after Thanksgiving weekend, and, you know, we're lining up 26 bikes at the register. It was the very first year. I mean, it was the thing
kind
that started.
Kind of stood out.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is that lady doing?
It's the bike lady we now know, but.
Well, I didn't have that name yet.
I know.
One of those guys that, it was one of the, you know, associates that said it's that bike lady. You know, the manager, first of all, just he had adopted through foster care at Franklin County. So, you know, on the spot, they did a deal on the bikes. He offered to give a free helmet for every bike that we purchased. But it was the people that as the word spread and we're at the register and what's that lady doing? People came up and gave me money on the spot. And I think that's something that is unique to a bicycle. It's I have a friend, Trisha Kovac. She says it's the universal language. Doesn't matter what country, what culture, what anything, bikes are part of who we all are around the world. Mm-hmm. And people could understand that kids need bikes and they're going to give $5 to make it happen.
They just have two healing circles on them.
Yep. That's right. Oh, yes, they do. They do.
You know, that kind of thing, that healing circles I always like, and I always like the imagery of circles because it is like that's what we all are part of one way or another. And mm-hmm. It's just so interesting how Kate's found her way with help, you know, to that place mm-hmm. Where she's connecting with people inside prisons to help them.
Yeah. One of the things that she talked about that I want to emphasize is the entrance of a corrections officer.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important that we think about that because one of the things we're talking about, and I know this is something that you care about, they have a part in this as well. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about expanding to the Corrections Training Academy and to work with COs who are in training because the change requires all of us. And we can't forget that they're a big part of it, and we need to be including them in this process.
Right. Yeah, you mentioned that, Chuck Bradley, that it's important to them as well.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, it's not your father.
It's not a super high-paying job, for one thing.
No, it's the type of job, you know, a lot of times folks don't know the work that's put in it, and especially our line staff.
It's a trauma,
And it's, there's the professionalism that you see throughout the Department of Corrections is overwhelming. And sometimes it's a job that folks just don't think about.
That's right.
But man, I tell you, when I'm out and about, and a lot of folks didn't choose that profession, but when they're there, they're glued in. And these are the type of things that people sometimes don't understand, the type of characteristics and traits it takes. It's in our ethos in our department to have folks that are just good-hearted, hardworking individuals. And the cool part about it is people don't understand. They see the connection between the guy that's standing in front of me and the person that I'm going to see out in the park tomorrow. And I have a part I need to play to ensure that this person's the right person that's going to be out there in the community.
And I know that Kate has could give examples, and David and I can, of how we couldn't do our work if it wasn't for the institution and the people who work in the institution and the people who make that a safe place and a healing place for us to work.
It's one of the things that that I love about doing this from a give back perspective for me personally, right? We do corporate bike builds sometimes as a volunteer thing, you know, XYZ company. And when we do these team building things in the corporate environment, we try to match up the admin and the line worker with an executive on a team and watch them all put a bike together. And it's a good time.
Yay you.
Right? The same thing happens in the institutions, but it happens organically. It's not something that we have structured the way we would in a corporate environment. One of the last bike build that we did this year was truly the most meaningful for me. It was at the Correctional Reception Center, which, you know, it's like what it sounds like.
That's right here in Franklin County, right?
Well, no, it's in Pickaway. It's right next door.
Okay,
it's right next door to the warden's facility. Correct me if I'm wrong here, right? But all offenders pass through this facility where they are processed before they go to where they're going to serve out their sentence, right? But kids who are remanded over and convicted as adults, they stay there until they're 18 in a segregated area. And for a year, we've been working with that group of how do we start this there. And we did our very first one just a week and a half ago. So, you know, there's roughly 30 kids on that ward any time. You know, they had to earn this privilege.
Everybody has to earn the privileges of participating.
Any of that stuff. They really work hard for it. But we had 10 of them. We built 30 bikes. We had 10 kids. And it was, first of all, I'm a mom. I just want to hug them. You know, that's the very first thing I want to do. I don't know what brought them there, and I don't even care that much. You know,
they're still kids.
Yeah, they're kids. They look like any other kid that's on my block, right? It was fascinating to me to watch them because they were typical teenage boys, right? They got a little macho thing going on, you know. They each got their pile of bikes. But you could also see behind that facade, they were a little nervous. They'd never put together a bike before. They didn't know what they were doing. So some of that machismo was hiding some nerves, right? And after we had volunteers there that helped, and after they got through that first bike, you could see them relax, but you saw them stand proud. They were proud of themselves. They'd done something new. They did it well. And you know, we have a photograph of we're all lined up. We can't share, but we're all lined up, those boys behind their bikes, and they're smiling. And that mattered to those boys. That mattered to the staff, because that's what brought me to this, was the staff jumped in to help and are teasing them a little bit. Come on, you can do this. And encouraging them and wanting a win. I mean, the corrections office staff is wanting a win for these kids. So it was that program, that build was important enough that the warden Chevalis of that facility just retired. He came back with his truck and a trailer, and he took all those bikes out to go deliver them to Perry County Children's Services. It was
that's another
enough.
Issue you deal with.
Huh?
Was
that
moving the bikes around?
Yeah, but this was an amazing year.
Yeah.
It was, and a big part of that was the institutions that to give the staff an opportunity to do something to give back. Is many of the institutions delivered the bikes out to Children's Services this year, and that's a big part of why we could reach 45 counties.
Wow, Warden Bradley, could you just give us some ideas of some other programs that are out there in the prisons? We've heard about Healing Broken Circles with Jody Davis, an award-winning operation. We just have about a minute left. Anything we haven't talked about?
Yeah. With the community service piece, and we have some of the most outstanding programs. I'm going to compare it to the rest of the United States because I think we do that good of a job. We really do. Our recidivism rates are one of the best in the United States. But the type of programming that are evidence-based that we produce in our facilities and we provide for the offenders in compilation with the education piece are outstanding. And I can't overstate that because the community service piece is so important and the giving back is so important. But some of the things I was talking about earlier with Ms. Davis is the part that solidifies it. Not only am I making a holistic person that we're getting through programming and education, and now the opportunity to also give back to the community and be engaged in that way is outstanding. So that's just so important.
Well, Charles Bradley, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
That's Charles Bradley. He's warden of Pickaway Correctional Institution. Also, Jody Davis, thanks. Congratulations on your award, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Jody Davis is Executive Director of Healing Broken Circles. And Kate Cook, thanks as always for joining us. Appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure.
Congratulations on another bang-up year.
Yeah. Thanks for being a friend of the Bike Lady.
Kate Cook is Executive Director of Bike Lady, Inc. That's it today for All Sides with Ann Fisher. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for sharing, and have a wonderful holiday. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.